What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kondorian Murad, will help you to draft a last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. They power the Grant and Danny radio program. We'll bring Danny back into the fold in just a moment. He's back in our DC studios. I am out here at Northwest Stadium, and I found, let's do the Collinsworth slide here, John Keim of ESPN. And John, it's a busy day considering Monday Night Football. I thought we'd sit here and be talking about the players on the field, but the two big storylines for Washington, non-game related. Let's start with Brian Robinson mutually deciding with the team not to play. They shopped him, we found out from Jordan Schultz yesterday, over the last several days, as he played his final game as a Commander.
Oh, I do believe he's played his final game, because if you can't, you know this, Grant, once this gets out, it's a wrap. So if they're going to try and continue shopping him, if nobody wants to trade for him, I think the next logical step would be a release. So I do think he's played his last game.
How do we get here? I mean, did it escalate as quickly as it feels, or was this one of those things where maybe the wheels were churning behind the scenes for a while, and Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt put it in the expedited HOV lane?
I think it's not only Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt or Bill. I think it's also Chris Rodriguez has played pretty well for them this summer. They've talked a lot about their depth at the position, I think, for a reason. So you also have guys like Jeremy McNichols. Now, could a Kaz Allen or Dominic Felton do something? I don't know. But I think they like the four they have. And I think when you look at Brian, it's not like he's been a standout back here. The numbers just are okay at best. It's not all on him, but that's the result. So I think this is something that, the other thing, Grant, is before the draft, there were two positions I was told that they would take. One was offensive line, the other was running back. So you kind of knew that they've been looking for something more than what they've been getting.
John Keim of ESPN on Grant and Danny, live from Northwest Stadium ahead of Monday Night Football. Bengals in town to take on the Commanders. Starters will play this evening. What kind of value is there for a guy like Brian Robinson? When we hear they're trying to trade him, what are they looking for?
I think realistically, a low round pick. I don't know, as you know, if you get a couple teams involved, maybe you can get something, because otherwise teams are going to know, like, well, if you're already shopping them and you're talking about your depth and you like these other guys, we know you're going to cut him, so why give up something for him, unless you just think, like, this is the guy that could help us. So I think in that case, you know, you're looking at six, most likely like a seventh. I just don't think there's a lot of value right now, because we're also coming up a week from tomorrow with final cuts. There will be other guys available too.
All right, so then the other storyline involves Terry McLaurin. He's taken off of the PUP list on Saturday. That was at least covered to some extent. The discourse was as if our long national nightmare in D.C. is over. I'm not really viewing it that way. Unless it was a mutual decision where he and Buddy Baker decided he was returning to work to start practicing and the team felt comfortable taking him off PUP for that reason, this doesn't really change a whole lot. We're hearing that he's not here right now. He may not be coming tonight. Well, that tells me what I need to know. I don't expect him to be practicing in the next few days then.
So I think part of it too, Grant, is the out for that angle is they want to continue work on his conditioning. So I'm not expecting him on the practice field this week. So I'm expecting him to continue like working on the side, get back in shape, because he hasn't been doing a lot of stuff lately, not in terms of conditioning. So get that, ramp that up for the next week or two, and then get back on the practice field at some point, either at the end of late next week or for the first week going into the season. So that's when we'll see what's his mindset. Because as you know, when he had his press conferences last month, nope, not getting on the field unless there's progression in the talks. Well, there hasn't been any real progression. So, but I think in a couple weeks, it's going to be either here's the final offer, take it, and you're back out there, or not. So
did that change how you feel about week one, McLaurin on the field, and or just how soon he'll be playing? Or was it just a technicality where the team had the leverage and this was a button they could touch?
Well, I think it's something the team had to do, because if you want to get him ready for the opener, and if he wants to be ready for the opener, you have to give him several weeks. So I think it was a necessary move. The other part of the equation is if Terry doesn't want to play in the opener, you're now costing yourself almost $900,000. I don't know. And then every week you miss, that's the check you're missing. How badly do you want to do that? And then it's also, you know, are you going to hurt your value for next year too if you don't get signed the extension and want to hit the market? So I'm thinking, leaning definitely toward him being there for the opener, but I think that's not a firm lean because there's a lot we still don't know, Grant.
Last one for John Keim of ESPN live at Northwest Stadium ahead of Monday Night Football. Let's actually talk about what's going to happen on the grass tonight. Looks like the rain is subsiding a bit. Be wet, slick surface, but I would imagine a series or so for Jaden Daniels behind a makeshift offensive line. No Ertz, no McLaurin, no Noah Brown. What can we take away from what we see, particularly from the offense, with so many guys filling in tonight?
I think that's a great question. I don't really know. I think, honestly, let's see how the backs look. I was told earlier this morning, like, a lot of Rodriguez, a lot of Zachary Kroski-Merritt. How do they do? How does Josh Connor look? And does Jaden Daniels get out of here unscathed? That's the most important thing, because when everybody's back, it should look pretty good. My concern, Grant, is everybody hasn't been together. That's not a great way to start the season. But so I think I'm going to look more at, like, how the young backs look. Does another receiver emerge at all? You know, so I think those are the things that I'm looking for on that side of the ball.
Watch John on ESPN. Read his work, ESPN.com. Thank you.
Thanks, Grant.
Yeah, enjoy the preseason action tonight. So, Danny, as I plug you back in here from our D.C. studios, I like his takeaway. There is a lot that is going to be hard maybe to evaluate tonight with a makeshift group offensively. But if you're a running back who can make a play or two with a backup in front of you on the offensive line against the starting defense, you can help yourself.
100%. I mean, that's where there's opportunity, right? There's not opportunity for a quarterback to overtake Jaden Daniels. There's not opportunity, you know, for a middle linebacker to overtake Bobby Wagner and so on. There is some space to move up and down at that running back spot. Again, I've been as impressed with Kroski-Merritt as anybody else, but there's still no NFL deposits in the bank there. You don't have a 1,000-yard season somewhere else or something to that effect. It's a nice story. It's awesome. I'm as excited as the next guy, but, you know, does that necessarily guarantee he's going to out-touch Jeremy McNichols or Chris Rodriguez if he looks great? Or, you know, you can kind of go down the list. But, yeah, I mean, there's no Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry in front of you at this stage. Roles are there to be carved out at this point. I think that's a great point.
One of the fun things about being out here at the stadium pregame ahead of Monday Night Football is being able to wave some of our buddies in the beat corps over, and Mitch Tischler of Monumental Sports is sitting down with me right now. Mitch, there's a lot we can cover, but I want to start with the offensive line. Laremy Tunsil and Brandon Coleman on the left side are both not going to play tonight, so that means Andrew Wiley and Chris Paul. Big opportunity for those two guys. Paul's a bit of a survivor here now with multiple regimes, kind of always hangs around. He's a good showing tonight away from putting himself in another really good spot.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Chris Paul's a guy who's just kind of gone under the radar here in Washington for a while. But you think about, you know, kind of the two main backup guards that you're looking at, and maybe one of them's a starter, and Andrew Wiley and Trent Scott. Both of those guys have that dual flexibility of being able to play tackle as well. You know, you have Allegretti, who's also going to be kind of looking as backup center as well. So you might need an extra guard there on the roster. It's going to be interesting to see what they do at the back end of this offensive line group when it gets to cutdown day.
I was telling Danny this earlier. The O-line, for me, could be a strength by the end of the year. I actually think this could end up being the best offensive line they've had in years. That said, early on this season, it could be a bit of a struggle. And you look at the New York Giants in week one with the number of pass rushers that they're going to throw at you, and you haven't had a lot of time on the grass consistently for Tunsil. Coleman hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. I don't think Cosme's going to play for a few games. You can tell me if you think I'm wrong. So That's a group where week one versus week 12 are going to be two very different things for me.
I agree. It's funny you say that because I've been saying on the Beltway Football Pod that I think this might be the best offensive line that the Burgundy and Gold has seen since the Hogs were there. I think this could be a very, very good group once they get a chance to gel. You know, every week they're going to see a good rusher. They're going to see a good edge rusher. You know, you look at the Giants, I think, you know, Josh, you look back the last year with Josh Connerly against Abdul Carter. Connerly got the better of him in the Big Ten championship game. Connerly looked really, really good in that game. And quite frankly, I thought Connerly looked really good in both the joint practice against New England and in the game there. So, you know, I know there's been some, you know, talk about the struggles for him, but you got to remember he's moving to a new position, moving over to that right side. And ultimately, we're seeing him incrementally improve as training camp has gone on. I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to get confident in him being your day one right tackle starter, which allows you to move Andrew Wiley inside to start at guard, and I think that can be a solid offensive line there.
Yeah, he played a lot of guard for the Chiefs and was a starter in Kansas City on a Super Bowl team. Mitch Tischler, Monumental Sports, with us here on Grant and Danny ahead of the Commanders and the Bengals. We're at Northwest Stadium at the press level. Open air here, which is nice, although I will say they spent a lot of money on these speakers. It is loud in this stadium with nobody here right now. But if you're coming to games this year, rest assured you will be able to hear everything. I can tell you that based on the last couple of hours. If you were going to go binary scale, percentage of why Brian Robinson is on his way out, how much of it is about him? How much of it is the emergence of Ja'Cory Crosky-Merritt?
I think it has to be about the emergence of Ja'Cory Crosky-Merritt because, quite frankly, if Bill wasn't ready to go, you couldn't afford to get rid of B-Rob. And to be honest, I think I'm opposite of you here. I don't think that they should get rid of B-Rob. I think the train is off the tracks now, and we're probably looking at, you know, him moving on before the season starts. But I think B-Rob, not that I'm advocating for him getting 15 carries a season, but we saw them do it with Brandon Coleman at left tackle last year. Start the year with B-Rob and Bill kind of splitting some carries. Don't put the full load on a rookie seventh rounder right away. I mean, you know, you look at the running back room as it stands, and not that you put a ton of stock in the preseason, but Bill has looked very good when he's out there. He got, what, 5 carries against the Patriots before he hurt his shoulder, and he was in a black no-contact jersey all week this week. You have Austin Ekeler, who has had 2 concussions last year. You know, you can like what you see from Chris Rodriguez, but he was a replacement player the past 3 years as well. So I think keeping a guy like Brian Robinson gives you a little bit more of a higher floor than getting rid of him. But I think we're beyond that now.
Are you surprised? Like, how did we get here? To your point, because I am of the belief if he's not your starter, I think Rodriguez can give you some short yardage stuff. McNichols plays special teams. You don't really need him. But it is odd to me that it got to this point this fast. Danny's actually pretty stunned by it. What do you think played into this on the B-Rob side of it? He's obviously not a guy they drafted, and he's not a perfect fit for Kingsbury, but while he's been maybe overall a disappointment, he's proven competent. He's okay. He's a Jag, but he's okay.
Right, and that's the thing to me about B-Rob is that you have the upper echelon running backs, you know, the Saquon Barkley's, the Derrick Henry's. Once you get past that in the NFL, you know, a lot of those guys are pretty replaceable. Bijan Robinson up there as well, and some others. But to me, I think it comes down to he's not their guy. We've seen this front office group get rid of folks who aren't their players and don't think that they can reasonably contribute a big piece to this offense. I just think that you're not going to – I don't know what return you're getting for B-Rob at this point. Maybe a conditional seventh-round pick. Once you put it out there that you're looking to move him, teams know that you're either going to move him or you're probably going to cut him, so they don't have to give you a whole lot for him. I think keeping him is more valuable than, you know, whatever comp you may get, if any at all. So it's, I think, you know, you got to look at the explosive plays, you know, and B-Rob only had 10 rushes for more than 10 yards last year. I think he had 2 rushes over 20.
By the way, that's a staggering statistic. 10 over 10 is tough.
He had 9 10-plus yard rushes called back last year also. So, you know, you can look at it either way, but there wasn't a lot of explosive plays out of him.
19, still not great.
19 would have ranked in the top.
It's okay.
It would have been right in the middle of the NFL. I mean, you know, you have those top-tier guys who put up huge...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Numbers, but once you get past them, I mean, James Cook only had 21 10-plus yard carries last year. You know, there aren't a ton of explosive running backs who are making big-time plays in the NFL as it lives today. So I understand wanting to get a guy like Bill on the field who has more explosiveness. I just think it brings a lot more question marks into that backfield.
Mitch Tischler, Monumental Sports. Let's end it with this prediction. McLaurin, how does the saga end?
I think it ends with them guaranteeing his contract for this season and him coming out and playing and both sides being like, we'll figure it out next year.
In the next week or so, or when?
It has to be, right? I mean, I think Cliff Kingsbury was pretty direct about wanting to get his guys out there. And it wasn't just about Terry. It was about Brandon Coleman. It was about, you know, probably Marcus Mariota as well, just other players that he wants to see out there. But at the same time, you know, you need that time on the field. You can work out all you want, and you can be in the best shape of your life, but there's nothing like being out there in the pads, being forced to cut on a dime when a safety's coming across at you, and getting that work in and getting your body ready for an NFL season.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you.
Enjoy the preseason. I will be seeing you because we will sit right next to each other for the game in just a bit. That's Mitch Tischler of Monumental Sports. Danny, what do you make of that? Mitch's take that, unlike maybe what I've been saying, even if Brian Robinson's fallen out of favor, there's still some value to him being on this roster.
That's kind of how I felt about it. I mean, again, the personal part of this thing aside, obviously, that's a demotion. But at the same time, you're a pro, so, you know, if you'd like a future in this league, you don't pout and grouse and whine and sandbag things. You run hard when your number's called. You have that position. There's so much attrition, so much injury, so much crazy happens. It's like a reliever in baseball. The turnover is, you know, light speed at this point. So, to me, I would anticipate getting much in trade that moves me. I'd probably rather just have him, even if he's inactive on certain game days, et cetera, because I don't really need the cap space. I'm not going to use that $3 million for anything. So I understand Mitch's point there.
So let's look ahead to tonight. Kickoff is slated for 8 o'clock. We know the Bengals are going to play starters for what sounds like at least a quarter or so. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins against this Washington secondary. We're about to find out how much better these corners are. I've made the case throughout training camp that this team is way better off and more competent in man coverage, that Marshawn Lattimore looks a lot more capable than he was at the end of last year, and that Trey Amos is the real deal and is going to be a high-end starter on the boundary right away as a second rounder. There's no such thing as getting any kind of conviction or real answers in one preseason game or in one quarter of action probably in August. But this is about as good a tell as we're going to get to go up against those receivers and this elite future Hall of Fame type quarterback, maybe the best in the league last year in Joe Burrow. What an opportunity to find out exactly what Washington is right now in the secondary.
Yeah, Football Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. No better time to do I'd rather not do this in, you know, week 16 of the regular season as find this kind of stuff out. This is the time to do it, right? This is the best this league offers in terms of a quarterback, receiver, triumvirate or combo, right? There are very few guys that are better than Ja'Marr Chase. The list might be one long, maybe two if you're the ultimate skeptic. And T. Higgins is the best number two receiver in the NFL. You're going to cover somebody excellent. And they're also slightly different, right? You think about how long and lean with some of that push off and separation that Higgins can create. Chase, meanwhile, strong as a bull, explosive as all hell. Joe Burrow's going to put that ball exactly where it's supposed to be. Get tested tonight, young man. You know, really that whole secondary. I mean, thinking about Sandra still, thinking about Lattimore, and you already touched on, of course, Trey Amos and company. This is as stern a test as you're going to find. For as long as we get it, I will relish it. So you're going to figure out where you stack. I mean, again, there's nobody on your schedule, despite a bunch of good teams, that's better in this area than this team that you're playing tonight.
All right, my player to watch tonight is going to have to be Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. I don't know that he's going to get a lot more work than he did against New England when he had seven attempts. But if he catches a ball or two out of the backfield like he did against the Patriots and runs the football seven times, we're going to be able to bubble in a little bit more of the Scantron here. And I think he is one banner showing away. If he gets to work against ones, especially if he's out there against starters and Daniels is getting the ball out of the gun and handing it off to him, and he's taking on Bengals tacklers who are on this first-team defense, I think you'll know everything you need to, that not only is Brian Robinson on his way out, but it's because Crosky Merritt has supplanted him and is the guy. That is my big storyline on the field going into the evening. How about you?
There's a number of guys. We talked about Trey Amos ad nauseum throughout the show, but I'll pick Jalen Lane on offense. There's a difference between he's great in shorts and a T-shirt at practice, right, where he's running past people. I mean, how many of those guys have come and gone over the course of the years? For, you know, the Aldrick Robinson Award is kind of what I call it, the offseason winners. Can you do this in when live bullets are flying in a real-type football game? Can you look all that athletic? Can you run the route tree? Can you be more than a gadget player and a punt returner? Are you an NFL wide receiver? Were you hampered at Virginia Tech because they couldn't throw the football down the field? Is there more to you than meets the eye, transformer style? I'm intrigued by Jalen Lane.
Are you fired up for this game? I mean, it's easy for me sitting here with the music blaring and watching the players warm up, overlooking the end zone in this environment to get the juices flowing, football season being back. You're going home to hop on the couch and watch on TV. I mean, I'm excited to just get to see the five car on the track. We've not seen Jaden Daniels play in a game since the NFC Championship game at Lincoln Financial Field. What's your general kind of emotion going into tonight? Does it feel like a normal preseason game to you?
No, it feels like extra weight on it, and there's nervousness. Number one, because there's not hadn't been a ton of good sample from the offense. Number two, where's Terry McLaurin? That story to me, until I see him on that sideline hanging out with his teammates, I've got some questions, and that's going to kind of govern how I feel about this whole process. It's either a black cloud hanging over everything and everybody, where he's no longer part of this thing for this year, and I'll be really frustrated by that, or it's just kind of regular run-of-the-mill preseason game where we're going to see a small sample of the offense. But for that offense, to me, GP, what if they don't play well tonight? That's kind of the overarching thing, is when you do this, we're only going to get them out there for a really small sample in the preseason. You don't have the joint practices with the Ravens anymore, and the only time we've seen them move the football or try to was a disaster against New England, a series or two tonight. What if they go three and out a couple of times? Then what? That's where I'm going to have some of those butterflies. So to me, I'm a little more nervous than I normally would be for a preseason game.
I don't think anything that happens on the field tonight, ideally, because injury aside, right, nothing that happens is going to be a bigger story tomorrow than the fact that Terry McLaurin isn't showing up this evening, if that doesn't happen. And in talking to somebody about him not being here yet, with the club, they essentially said the same thing. Like, yeah, there's a good chance he's not going to be here. If that's what we're talking about tomorrow, it's not going to surprise me, because we now have our answer. If he no-shows this evening, he's not a part of the team for the preseason game. After being taken off the PUP list, you just heard John Kimes say he thinks taking him off the PUP is essentially to just get him back to doing conditioning during practice. Well, now we know. This was not mutual. This was not him saying, okay, I got to start practicing so I'm ready for week one. This was just the team using their leverage.
Yep.
And this was not really a McLaurin decision in any way, which tells us, start of the show, we were wondering kind of what we need to know. Him not showing up tonight would answer that question, that nothing's changed, and maybe it, to the other extreme, things are actually getting worse.
That's what it would be to me. It would be worse. I mean, because at a minimum, okay, you're holding in. We're allowing you to go on with this ankle charade, and we've played along with it too. Now we're not letting you do that anymore, and now you're not there with your teammates. You know, like, at least if you're not running around on the grass, you're supposedly, you're there in the meeting rooms, you're eating meals, you're doing, you know, anything that's not physical, which is a lot. The demands of the day in training camp, preseason and stuff, there's a lot of stuff that's not just practicing. They've limited practice windows, limited time in pads, on the grass, etc., due to fear of injury. You're doing everything but that. And that everything used to be a lot, or is a lot of stuff. Now you can't even bother to do that when the business of football for this year is getting going. So that would be certainly an escalation, as big a one as I can think of. And for me, something that I would hold against Terry McLaurin a great deal.
Commanders camp coverage and preseason activity on The Fan, presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. For the fellas behind the scenes, Darris, Ryan, and Toby, and for Danny back in our Navy Yard studios, I'm Grant saying so long from Northwest Stadium. Nick Ashew will have you covered next, up and through kickoff tonight. No Nats baseball, which means you'll get all the Commanders content you need during this Monday Night Football matchup with the Bengals all evening long. Thank you for listening. We're back at it at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Thank you for coming.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.